This is Dave Glowatz. I'm here with Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader. Today we're talking about Ben's column in the January 8th, 2009 edition of the Reader titled, Would You Vote for Roland Burris? Ben, your column chronicles the electoral history of Roland Burris, whom Governor Rod Blagojevich has appointed to fill the U.S. Senate seat vacated by Barack Obama. First, I'd like to ask you something about the office of Illinois Attorney General, in which Roland Burris served for one term, and during which you say he didn't do too much. I wonder if you could read the relevant part of your article.
For all its potential, the office is pretty much treated as a stepping stone to something else, but it only works that way for those who manage to look tough but avoid making big enemies along the way. That's why its occupants, including the current one, Lisa Madigan, have rarely been able to find any evidence of corruption to prosecute in what just might be the most corrupt state in the union.
And you know, that's a criticism I've heard repeatedly leveled at whomever serves as Cook County State's attorney as well. Anyway, Illinois citizens see elected officials at both the city and state levels prosecuted for federal crimes. Can you think of any examples of state laws under which an Illinois attorney general could have prosecuted elected officials?
Yeah, against the law to bribe official. If it's against state law, I mean, if they wanted to, they could be prosecuting all the people who accepted bribes down through the years.
So you're talking about state ethics laws in that regard?
Well, if a policeman pulls you over and you give him $25 so he throws away the ticket, that's a bribe. That's a law. That's a violation of state law. So for officials to take money not to prosecute the law, to allow law violations to exist, is a crime and could be prosecuted by the state or by the local prosecutors. They choose not to. Now, in a weak defense of the state's attorney's office, they have an awful lot on their plate prosecuting criminal defendants and, of course, justifying the incarceration of innocent people. That was just a joke, an aside. Sorry, Dave.
I was wondering whether I should take that seriously.
Yeah. So they choose not to. And part of the reason is our political system. And these are all, of course, elected officials. And they're dependent on the support of the various law-breaking powerhouses in this state to be elected. So they choose to pretend as though the law isn't being broken. That's a grand tradition in Chicago politics and in state politics. I think there's two basic categories. There are the people who actually break the law, and then there are the people who look the other way. We tolerate corruption, and we tolerate scandal, and we tolerate conflict of interest. We assume it is existence in many of our own lives. We try to take advantage of it, and so it's not a surprise that we have the system that we have. So Attorney General, it fits the bill. I can't think right now of any prosecution in which a state attorney general has actually prosecuted an elected official or a public official in Illinois of breaking the law.
Interestingly enough, the governor's attorney tried to make the case for the Illinois attorney general defending the governor because she is nominally the state's attorney. She's the attorney for the state of Illinois. So he works for the state. She should have to defend him, but that didn't fly.
No, it didn't fly. By the way, you're probably referring to Ed Jensen, who's quickly become my favorite character in Chicago, Illinois politics because he's just so out there. He states his most extreme points of view. I think that he's really one of the more, in an ironic way, more honest people out there. He's just saying, well, the whole system's corrupt, so why are you picking on my client? And I think it's actually a valid statement to make.
Now, though it's somewhat moot, one of the major questions recently has been whether the governor's appointment of Burris to the Senate seat should hold. And there are several perspectives in this that I'd like to describe. One is that it's a smart but cynical move by the governor to amplify his support among Illinois blacks. A second perspective is anyone whom the governor appoints, including Burris, might have paid to play. And that's exactly what the U.S. Attorney's criminal complaint against the governor was trying to prevent. And then the third perspective is that the law supports the appointment, and the governor's indictment or possible impeachment doesn't change that fact. What's your reaction to those?
Number one, I got to give Blagojevich credit, as always. He's always one step ahead of me in scheming. So that first point about appointing Burris in order to influence a potential jury pool is totally brilliant. I hadn't thought of it. But see, my mind doesn't work that way. And so when I read that somewhere, I said, oh, my God, that's really smart, you know, and that's sort of like George Ryan suddenly discovering that capital punishment is a sin right before he's facing a potential pool of jurors. Of course, that didn't work in George Ryan.
So you don't support George Ryan being nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize?
No, I don't. So point one, give Blagojevich credit. As always, he's a schemer and a scoundrel. I think it's ridiculous that the Senate's throwing in the towel on blocking Burris. I think this is another example of Barack Obama looking the other way to avoid confrontation. I guess the best spin you could put on it is that there are far more pressing issues that he has to deal with, so why waste his time on this one? So I'll concede that to a degree, but this is pretty much what the man has done his entire career with local Chicago politics. Today's Sun-Times had a great article talking about all the potential conflicts of interest between Burris and Blagojevich, where Burris's law firm is a beneficiary of state funds, that he himself is getting a nice pension from the state, and so there's reason to believe that he too, Burris, has benefited from Blagojevich's incumbency. And so, and to a large degree, you have to ask, is this not in itself a form of pay-to-play? In fact, you can go one step further, and I've argued this point, that Blagojevich would not even be governor today had Roland Burris not run in the Democratic primary of 2002.
Some people even believe that Blagojevich put Burris up to run against him to split the vote, the black vote, that might have gone to Vallis.
Yeah, to siphon black vote away from Paul Vallis. I don't know if that actually happened. Anything's possible. I think I actually wrote those lines. Anything's possible in our illustrious state. But the point is, there's so many questions about the relationship between Burris and Blagojevich, and there's so many obvious questions about how Blagojevich handles government that I don't think we should tolerate this abuse. I think we should have a special election. In fact, I'll go one step further. It should be one election so we don't waste money on a primary, the Ben method, and everybody runs, including the Greens and the Republicans and the wackos and everybody else, and have 50 names on the ballot, and whoever comes up with the most votes is our senator. The point is, once again, our government has failed us miserably in trying to uphold any standards of decency. I forget, what was the third point that you raised?
The law supports the governor's appointment, and the governor's indictment or possible impeachment doesn't change that.
Oh, yeah, that's irrelevant. That's lawyers talk. It's like, okay, so he can legally do this. Should he do this? Morally, should we do this? Should we allow this to continue? You know, do we ever take a stand once, just once, against this sort of behavior? I mean, whether it's quote-unquote legal, whether you can get a jury to convict Blagojevich, those are all irrelevant questions in terms of how we do business in this state.
At what point do you decide that the rule of law is not relevant, that there are ethical or, as you say, moral considerations? What guides you to say that even though that's the law, we can disregard it in this case?
Well, I can tell you right now, when the governor has been accused of selling off the Senate seat, and we have tape evidence, allegedly, of him trying to sell off the Senate seat, I think at the very least the entire system should put a moratorium on the governor filling that Senate seat. That it's a powerful accusation that's been made about him in regards to this Senate seat. So as an ethical consideration, I think it would be a good time just to sit back and say, you know what? I don't think we should allow this governor to fill this seat. By the way, I think the law requires a special election anyway. I just read an article in the New York Times about the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, that says that Senate vacancies should be filled by special elections, and that at best a gubernatorial appointee is just a temporary thing.
You read that in the New York Times, not the Constitution.
Yeah, well, they were quoting the Constitution.
Presumably.
Yeah, presumably, yeah. I haven't seen the
Maybe
letter.
Maybe they were writing the historical fiction version of the Constitution.
Yeah, the historical, like we do in Illinois. But the point being that if you want to start playing around with the law, I could throw right back at you, well, they're already playing with the law by allowing a governor to fill a vacancy this way, you know.
I think we'll leave it there.
Excellent.
Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for inviting me to this lovely Starbucks.
This is Dave Gloetz. We've been speaking about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.